I want you to know that there are people, if you're going through a struggle right now and you're feeling lonely, there are people in this church that understand and that love you. And you're not alone. You know, this has always been an interesting time of the year for me. And there's a lot of things that are going on in my heart when it comes to Christmas. And I have been called by my wife very lovingly the Grinch. Or Scrooge or whatever it is, because I have a hard time getting into that Christmas spirit. And I've never really understood why, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But then I became a preacher, and people expect me to preach about Christmas. Well, I grew up in a tradition where you didn't talk about Christmas at Christmas time, because nothing in the Bible tells us that we need to celebrate Christmas. But then as I matured in my faith and I started looking at it, I'm like, the whole world is celebrating Christmas right now. I need to talk about it because that's what people are thinking about. So every year I try to have at least one or two. In the past, I've had a series of four lessons that are surrounded by this holiday. I know a lot of churches in the area that are canceling their services on Christmas Day so people can be with their families. And I'm not here to judge them, but I do make jokes about the fact that it's funny that you're canceling church for a religious holiday. But the whole thing that I want you to get, and this is probably the reason why I struggle with Christmas, is because Christmas is not a Hallmark movie. Christmas is not a Hallmark movie. Not everything on Christmas Day works out and the young couple that is dating fall madly in love and get married. Not every Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. You know, I think Lexus is a great car company. I have nothing against them. But that commercial where the man has a ribbon on a Lexus and they sing that song, it's the most wonderful time of the year, whoever created that was not married. Because not a man around would ever buy a Lexus without asking his wife what color she wanted. Unless he went to the dealer and he said, just bring one over and then the day after Christmas we'll come and pick out the color and what she wants. Because if you've been married any time at all, you would never make that kind of costly mistake. So Christmas, for some people, and this is what I want us to keep in mind as a church body that loves each other and loves the world, we need to keep in mind that some people are struggling this time of year. It could be because of mistakes they've made in the past that have caused them some heartache. It could be because of a loss of a loved one. It could very well be because they're not with family this year. So Christmas is not the most wonderful time of the year. As a matter of fact, I was reading an article and it said that they surveyed a number of people and 45% of the people they surveyed did not enjoy the Christmas holiday. And if you're like me and you struggle with it and it's not that time of the year, Nancy and I got married, and we got married, we were poor as dirt. And every Christmas, I worked what they called shutdown at a paper mill. And during that Christmas day, I worked as many hours as I could because I got paid triple time. And I needed the money. And so Christmas Day for me was getting up and going to work and working at least 12 hours. I remember one time I worked 20 hours on Christmas Day so I could get that paycheck and we could go back to school. So Christmas Day for Nancy for a number of years, even after we got married, was me coming home exhausted, and I would open up some presents, and everybody had already had a Christmas, and everybody had already celebrated, and Nancy and I would have a few moments together, and I'd take a shower, and I'd go to bed, and she goes, "Woo." And the reason why I'm saying this to you is because I want you to know that there are people, if you're going through a struggle right now and you're feeling lonely, there are people in this church that understand and that love you. And you're not alone. And this Christmas story that we have in the Bible is really not the most wonderful time of the year. The scripture that was read to you just a few moments ago was about Joseph being told that the woman he loved and was going to marry, and in those days you were betrothed to someone, and that meant you had about a year where you were engaged, and that was during that year you got to really kind of find out whether the woman you're going to marry was the kind of woman she said she was. You spent time together, but you weren't actually married. But it was so close to being married that if during that time you decided you weren't going to get married because of unfaithfulness, that's when you would do a divorce. And here's Joseph excited about the fact, and I don't know Joseph's emotions, but in my mind, being a young man once and finding a beautiful woman and finding somebody that wants to marry you, in my case, somebody that wanted to marry me, and most of y'all know that Nancy has needed glasses most of her life. I always made her take them off when she got close. But here's the thing, you've got that going for you, and you know there's a time coming where the marriage is going to be consummated. You've got a life together. You're going to build that life together. You're going to have a family. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. And he was a carpenter, and he would probably get up in the morning, and he would sing because there was a woman that he was going to be with for the rest of his life. And as soon as his day was over, he would run and seek her out. And this time, he finds out she's pregnant with a child, and it's not his. He was a good man, so he decided that what he was going to do is he was going to divorce her quietly so he would save her and himself quite a bit of embarrassment. And then it says here that an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Wow. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And I want you to underline these words, because he will save his people from their sins. Because he will save their people, his people from their sins. And I cannot even wrap my head around what Joseph had to be thinking at that time. I have to tell you, the whole idea, now I grew up hearing the Christmas story, I know about Jesus in the manger, I knew about all those things, but as an adult, as I've grown older and I've begun to think about things harder than I did when I was a kid and just accept everything, how in the world did Joseph just accept that and move on? Because I'm going to tell you, as a man, I'm not sure I could. And I'm pretty sure that Joseph from time to time had to go back and think about that dream. And he had to think at some point in his life, did that really happen or did I just want it to happen? there's more stories that we have in here that I want us to look at today. And over in Luke chapter 2 in verse 14, we have the story of shepherds. And some of you are thinking, well, I'm not learning anything new today. Well, this story is not new. You've heard it 1,000 times. I'm not going to give you any new characters. I'm not going to give you new verses that you've never read before. We're just going to go through some verses because I want you to see something very, very important about the story. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, is there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David," and underline this word, "a Savior," underline the word, "a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace to those whom His favor rests." This is another scene that I'm thinking about, and I'm like, this blows me away. First of all, have you ever seen an angel? I don't think I have. I've seen people that have been angels to me, but I have never had angels from the heavens appear to me. And I am a shepherd. I'm watching my sheep in the field, and all this happens before me. And the angels praise God, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those whom His favor rests." I love the verse that it says here, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid," because I'm going to tell you, I would be quaking in my boots, or sandals, because that's what they wore back then. I would be scared to death, and even after they told me not to be afraid, I think there's no way that I wouldn't still be a little afraid. I would try not to run. That's about how unafraid I would be. And then there's another story that you're familiar with. And this was when Jesus was of a certain age, and they took him to the temple, because in those days when you had a male son, you went to the temple and you made sacrifice. And you made that sacrifice for God giving you a male son, especially your firstborn son. And there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went up into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace," and underline these words, "for the eyes have seen your salvation." The reason why I want you to get these three stories together, and I'm not going to go into great detail of these three stories right now, but the reason why I want you to get these three stories is because the reason for the season is sin. The reason for the season is sin. You know, I love babies. I have pictures of some of your children. I don't see Theo here now, but Theo is 16 years old. He's bigger than me, and I remember holding that kid as a baby. And then there's Lauren Pomerinke. And Lauren, I don't mean to embarrass you because I know she embarrasses easy, but I was there the day after she was born and I got to hold her. And if you know Lauren today, you know what a beautiful young lady she is. So it's not that I have anything against babies. It's the fact that we focus so much on a baby that we forget that the reason for the season is that Christ came into the world because we are sinners. Not so that we could celebrate a baby. As a matter of fact, in the early church, they did not have a Christmas celebration. They had Easter celebrations, but they did never had a Christmas celebration. You see, there's lots of beautiful babies born into this world and lots of babies born under difficult circumstances, and that's not what we're celebrating. We're celebrating, and the good news is that God sent a Savior for us. And He sent that Savior in the form of a baby. But you need to understand that baby, as John tells us, was in the beginning and was with God and created all things. You see, having a baby is a beautiful thing, but needing a Savior and having a Savior is really what the good news is about. The second thing I want you to look is the purpose of Christmas was Easter, so that we could get rid of sin. The purpose of Christmas was Easter so that we could get rid of sin. And I know for a lot of us, we don't think a lot about sin. I don't like thinking about sin. One of the things that we're doing in our 40 days of prayer is confessing sin. And I hate doing that. I remember things from back when I was a teenager that I did that I have to confess before God. And I remember things that I did last week when I should have been acting better. And I didn't. And every night, I sit down with God and I talk to Him about the things that I've done that I shouldn't have done and the things that I should have done that I didn't do. And I realize that I need a Savior. But I'm not the only one that needs a Savior. And a lot of times what we've done with our life is we've packed it full of things. I know people who work all the time because when they stop working, they have to think about the things they've done in their life. I know people who drink every day because they don't want to think about the sin in their life. And I know people, good people, who dismiss their sin because they're good people. But the reason, the purpose behind Christmas was Easter, so that we could get rid of our sin. And it's not just get rid of it because our sin is ever before us. What it is we can get rid of the guilt of sin. And one of the things I think has stifled me and stifles a lot of other Christians from time to time is they know they're not good enough and they know what they've done in the past, so it holds them back because the guilt that they have on their heart, they have not let Christ take care of. And in confession, that's where we find out that God will forgive our sins. I would love to tell you that I have become sinless, but Nancy will tell you real quickly, I have not. I would love to tell you that I've got it all together. Being a preacher, I study the Word constantly. I pray for you. I pray for others. I am counseling. I'm doing all kinds of good works, but I still need a Savior, and so do you. But the greatest example of this is a man by the name of David. And David, oh my goodness, David was an amazing man. You know, if you wanted to find a guy that got a Lexus for Christmas, it would have been David. And it wouldn't have come from his spouse, it would have come from the dealer directly. The dealer would have said, David, let me show you what I've got here, and you pick what you want, and Merry Christmas. David had, he had wives, he had children, he had all kinds of things. I just finished doing a study of David through Hillsdale College. Yes, I'm still taking college courses. I'm hoping it'll help. But I'm going through the life of David, watching him as a father, as a king, and as just as a man. And I'm taking this course, and I'm going through, and I'm looking at David and what all he had and how God loved him, and then how David messed up so badly. You know the story, but David slept with Bathsheba, and then Bathsheba became pregnant, and then he tried to get Uriah to sleep with her, but she wouldn't do it, or he wouldn't do it. And so he sends Uriah out and gets one of his men and has one of his men kill Uriah, basically by withdrawing from him and letting the enemy do it. And the whole time David's acting like, yeah, I'm such a great guy. Bathsheba's pregnant. I'm going to bring her into my castle here. I'm going to bring her into the kingdom, and she's going to stay with me. The palace is the place that she needs to be after what happened to her husband. And Nathan came and confronted him, and sometimes that's what it takes for us to see in our sin, is when others confront us. And Nathan says to him, there was a man who had a sheep, and he loved that sheep. And there was another man who had a bunch of sheep, and he went after the man's sheep, took it away from him. And David said in his anger, whatever that man did, he will have to repay four times as much. And says to him, you are that man. And we can look at David and we can say, Lord, I am so thankful I have not done anything like that. But the truth of the matter is we have all sinned, and we have all come short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. We all need redeeming. And that's why Jesus came. If you look in your notes, I've got the verse here. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I know in my life, my sins, I don't know yours necessarily, but I know that all of us in here have sinned. There are some really good people in this room today. My brother David Love is down visiting with us. And I can tell you, I don't know David as well as he knows himself, but I can tell you what I know about David. David is one of the finest men I have ever met, and I like to spend time with him because I just want to emulate him. But this is what else I know about David, and he'll be the first to tell you. He sinned. And then there's the other David we were just talking about and the sin that he had in his life, and he had everything. He could say something and it came to fruition. He could make commands and people would die for him. He had everything this world had to offer. Everything we use to try to cover up the guilt of our sin. And look at what he says in Psalms. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquities. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me. And the guilt of my sin, underline the words guilt of my sin. You see, Jesus came into this world so that he could do Easter, so that we could get rid of sin. And some of us who have accepted Christ in baptism are still living in that guilt. So this time of the year, when you're going through what you're going through, whether good or bad, whether you're having a Hallmark Christmas in your mind, or you're having one of the worst Christmases in your mind, you can know that Jesus came so that you could get rid of the guilt of your sin. And in believing on Him, you can have salvation. You see, the results of Christmas is a relationship with God based on forgiveness and freedom. The result of Christmas is a relationship with God based on forgiveness and freedom. And if we could just, there we go. I want you to be able to see that in case I'm talking too fast. You see, God didn't just come to this world to be a man and to die on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of sin. God came into this world so that we could have relationship with Him. And I know I've heard it before that some of us have a relationship with people in the church, and some of us have a relationship with the church and going to church, but God didn't come to this earth so you could have a relationship with me or you could have a relationship with the church. He came to this earth and died as a man so that you could have a relationship with Him. And I'm going to tell you this, looking over the room, I think most of us are Gentiles. And I want to tell you this about being a Gentile. If Jesus hadn't have come, we would have had no hope. Because we wouldn't have been taught, and we wouldn't have been prepared. So, the results of Christmas is a relationship with God based on forgiveness and freedom. You know what I have today that I wish I'd have had my whole life? Is that feeling of forgiveness. That feeling of forgiveness. We talked about in our class on James today about pure joy. And I was trying to define pure joy during class. I'm like, if somebody said, Neil, tell me what pure joy is. And I was wrestling with that. And as I was wrestling with that, I looked down at my notes and I saw it. I'm going to tell you what pure joy is forgiveness. That's pure joy. That no matter what I've done, I'm forgiven. And I'm in the right relationship with God. And that gives me freedom. And those two things, that's pure joy. Well, Christmas always leaves us with a decision to make. I thought I was going to get through the whole sermon without coughing, but I didn't do it. All of us have a decision to make because of Christmas. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All we have to do is confess. You see, Christmas is because Christ came to the earth, and Easter is because of Christ paid the price. And today, as we consider Christmas, we have to consider ourselves. And I hope by the message today, I've messed up your Christmas and what it's supposed to be. And I mean that in a good way. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons and it came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three times that day. We sing an invitation song on Sunday mornings in order for you to respond to the Lord's invitation. You see, God came to this earth and He died for you in order that you might be redeemed from your sin so that you could live with Him for all eternity. But you, like the Grinch, have to figure and figure, and then, hopefully, your heart will grow big enough to accept the gift of Christmas. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.